Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 13. I invite you to open your Bibles with me. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me, look on me, and answer me, Lord my God? Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Also, turn very quickly to Psalm 22. We'll just read the first couple of verses. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we are filled with the memories of what has gone on in this past week, good things, bad things, busyness. Lord, as we come here to hear your word proclaimed, I pray that we might rejoice in these memories, but also that we might now be able to settle our hearts and our minds. Settle them in the peace that you offer us today, so that we can hear your word truly and rightly spoken into our hearts. So open us to you, Lord, so that we can receive the goodness that you have prepared. We ask this in your name. Amen. So good morning again. I apologize for my voice. We're going to make it through. I know every single time I come up here, I tell you I'm sick. Pray for me. That's what I'll say. Just pray for me. We're going to get through it, though. Today, we are finishing up our sermon series on prayer. And at least for me, I have to be honest, these past 5 weeks, about a month and a half that we spent on prayer, it's been both a great challenge to me and also a great blessing. I have found myself, as we've been preaching and going through prayer together, I've found myself longing to grow in my own relationship with God in prayer. And my hope is that many of you have similarly been both convicted and inspired to simply pray more. Now today, we're going to discuss one of the most challenging questions relating to prayer, the question of unanswered prayer. Those times when God says no to our prayer requests. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about lifting up our requests to God, about bringing our needs and our cares and our desires and telling God, just simply sharing God those needs that we have. But what about those times whenever you pray for something that maybe you desperately need and you don't get it? What about those times when God says no? What can we say about those times? The reality is, I think since the very first day that we've started preaching on this, this has been the question that I've heard most of you have come to me about. This is the question that I think we struggle with the most, maybe, as Christians. Yeah, I don't think there is a week that hasn't gone by that at least two or three members of the congregation after a sermon has come to me and shared with me a story about maybe a prayer that they had that was not answered, or maybe a time when they were afraid to pray because what if God doesn't answer my prayer? The first thing that I think we should recognize as we begin to address this topic is that this is not an issue that the Bible is at all shy about. In fact, we often find in the Bible situations in which people who have prayed for something, they have had those prayer requests denied. And these were not just frivolous prayers that we're talking about. Just like many of us here today, these were prayers that were often lifted up in times of deep need, in times of desperation. Just a few examples. In 2 Samuel, we read about a desperate prayer that David, the one who authored one of the Psalms that we read this morning, a desperate prayer that David prayed to save the life of his son. God said no to that prayer, and David's son died. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians that Paul prayed multiple times that a physical affliction that he was suffering from, a thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it, that that would be healed. And God's answer to Paul every time he prayed was no. The Psalms that we just read are examples of a whole host of psalms, actually, about unanswered prayers, about those times when you are crying out to God with very real needs, but God is just silent or God says no. In fact, the second psalm that we read, Psalm 22, Jesus himself quotes this psalm. Jesus himself prays this psalm while he is on the cross in the midst of God saying no to his prayer. And in fact, that's the prayer that we're going to talk about a little bit later in this sermon. But this is the first thing that I think is important for us to acknowledge as we think about this topic, this fact that the Bible teaches us plainly that there are times when we pray for very good things, when we pray desperately, there are times when God will say no to those prayers. Again, the Bible does not shy away from this fact. And here's the thing. As I was thinking about this, I don't think the fact that God sometimes says no to our prayers is the real struggle that most people have with this topic. It's certainly not the struggle that I have. When we first began the sermon series, we talked about praying to God as our Father, and about what an amazing gift it is to be invited into that type of a relationship with God. But listen, here's kind of the counter side to that. If God is our Father, then that means that God is not our magical genie. If God is our Father, then that means, as Pastor Sean, I think, has taught the kids, if God is our Father, then that means that God is not the cosmic slot machine, right? As any parent here will tell you, parents sometimes have to say no to the requests of their children. Children sometimes ask for things that they cannot have. And if you love your children, you will say no to them. And this is true of the relationship that we have with God as well. It is precisely because God loves us that God will sometimes say no. Now, here's the thing with that, because I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking it too. As true as this is, and as easy as it is to understand, it is not at all satisfying. When I have to say no to my son or daughter, and they ask me, why not? Let me tell you, it does not help at all. I say this from experience. It does not help at all to tell them, I'm doing it because I love you and I just know what's best. Parents, has that ever worked in your life? I don't think so. It's just not satisfying. Because let's be honest, especially for a young child, that's not really the issue that is at play. That's not what they are asking. I think maybe eventually, once my children have matured, this is what I pray for anyway, eventually once my children have matured and when they've come to understand a little bit more what true wisdom is, then maybe then that answer will be enough. But certainly not yet, and I'm actually kind of skeptical of whether that time will ever happen. And the same thing is true in our relationship with God. We know in our heads, and maybe we even know in our hearts, that God loves us and that God knows what is best, and his answers to our prayers will reflect his will and his wisdom and his love. And maybe when we've matured enough in faith, maybe when we've reached that point of trust in our relationship, that answer will be sufficient. But in the meantime, when God says no to my prayers, sometimes I just really want to know why. Why, God? I can trust you, but can't you just tell me why? Again, what is beautiful about the Bible is it recognizes this reality as well. It recognizes our desire to know why, to cry out why in the depths of our heart when we are struggling to understand why God is doing something. This is part of why I wanted to read Psalm 22, because again, this is indeed the same question that Christ asks at the moment of his crucifixion. Why, God, have you forsaken me? The Bible knows we need to ask why. And my hope for today is that as we look to scriptures, as we look to the Bible, we can actually receive some guidance as to why sometimes God does say no. Now, I readily admit, we're not going to answer all the questions here. This is just meant to be some points of guidance. But my prayer is that it will be helpful, at least maybe not in the midst of those moments, but maybe afterwards, as a point of reflection and a point for us to grow in our faith and understanding of how God is working in our lives. Now, during this sermon series, we have been looking to Jesus as our guide to prayer, and as I've already alluded to, today is not going to be any different. And in particular today, we're going to look at a prayer that Jesus prays, a prayer in which Jesus lifts up a request to God, and God says no to that request. And I wanted to preach on this particular prayer because today, Palm Sunday, marks the beginning of Holy Week, the beginning of when we reflect on Jesus' crucifixion, his suffering, and his death on the cross on our behalf leading up to Easter. And the story that we're going to look at today is Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed and arrested. So if you want to turn your Bibles here, you can, but I'm also going to have it up here on the screen, I think. Yes? No, maybe. There we go. Okay. It's up on the screen. This comes from Mark there, Mark chapter 14. You can read it there if you want to look for it later. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Now going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." This is a deeply moving part of the gospel. We've seen up until this point, Jesus performing miracles. He's been trying to prepare his disciples for the moment, for this very moment when he would be arrested and eventually crucified. But at this point, we see kind of an inward reflection of what is going on in Jesus' own heart. And what is there, as Jesus puts it, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In other words, this prayer that Jesus prays, this is not maybe like some of the other prayers that we've talked about where Jesus would go off early in the morning and just spend time communing with God. This is not some calm, sitting around the dinner table kind of prayer. This is a prayer of desperate need. Jesus knows what is coming. He says in his prayer, it's such a short prayer, but it is powerful and painful. He says in this prayer, "Take this cup from me." This is an image, the idea of taking this cup, this is an image of God's judgment and wrath. In the Old Testament, the prophets would talk about God pouring out his wrath upon those who had sinned against him. And the idea behind the image is you would take the cup filled with God's wrath and you would be forced to drink it. And that is now the image that Jesus has in his mind as he is sitting there praying to God. He knows that in just a few hours, he is going to be the one who is called upon to drink the wrath of God, to drink the cup of God's wrath, and not just a cup that is filled with a little bit of God's wrath, but the entirety of God's wrath for all of the sins that have ever been committed against God, the entirety of God's wrath for all of the death and destruction that has kept us opposed to God and has kept us away from God's presence. God is calling upon Jesus to take this cup and to drink it fully and completely. And thinking about that, whenever Jesus comes and sits before God, he lets his heart be known to God, and Jesus says, "God, I am terribly frightened of being asked to do this thing. Quite simply, I don't want to do it. Take this cup from me, please." But what happened? What happened is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prayed this prayer. And then he drank completely the cup of God's wrath on the cross for us. Jesus himself made his request known to the Father. And his request was denied. God said, "No." Some of you have prayed in this way, in desperation, falling on the ground, and honestly and truly hoping for what you are praying for, and it has not come. Some of you have prayed again and again, asking for God to take whatever cup it is that you are facing. Maybe not a cup of God's wrath, thank God, because Jesus has done that for us, but maybe a cup of your own invention, or maybe a cup of just circumstances that have gone wrong. Or maybe you've asked for God to take away the cup of a loved one. And that prayer went unanswered, and God said, "No." God said no to Jesus too. And at the very least, that means that he, from experience, knows what it means for God to say no in a time of desperate need. And again, that's something. You know, I think it's something to know that God is in no way blind to the suffering that we experience when he says no to us. Because he has experienced that same suffering in his own heart for our sakes. But thankfully, and again, this is the real thing I want us to hear today, thankfully, the Bible gives us more than this. I think this is important for us to recognize that Jesus understands our suffering in those moments. But again, the Bible gives us more. As we look at this story together, the first thing that I want us to see is that there are some incorrect reasons for why we may think that our prayers have not been answered. That's actually how I'm structuring things today. We're going to start off with two reasons that I think that we often hear or that we tell ourselves, and I'll be flat out, of these two reasons, these are lies that we have received about why God will not answer our prayers. And these lies are deeply damaging. They have hurt many, many people. And so that's one reason why I want to start with them today. And as we look at the Bible passage that we have today, as we look at this story about Jesus' own unanswered prayers, we'll be able to see why these are very bad reasons to think that God doesn't answer our prayers. And then after that, we're going to look at four reasons that I have for why God does say no from time to time. But let's start with the bad reasons, I guess, as I will call them. These reasons that we have maybe been told by others or that we tell ourselves in our own heart for why God says no to our prayers. Again, today I wanted this to be kind of very simple and structured so that you can take this with you and have it kind of for all time. So here's the first reason. God denied your prayer. Now remember, these are the wrong reasons. God denied your prayer because you didn't have enough faith. How many people have been tortured and led astray by some form of this reason? I remember meeting, this is several years ago, but I happened to meet a young husband and wife who had lost a child to cancer. And they shared with me that their church had prayed for healing. But when the child died, the elders of that church put the blame squarely on their parents. The idea that they gave them was that they didn't believe, they didn't trust God enough that they would heal their child. As you can imagine, that husband and wife were very far away from God. Now, this is an extreme example. Unfortunately, I've heard examples like this more times than I would like to admit. This is an extreme example, but it is so hurtful and false that I wanted to clearly preach against it this morning. And the truth is, even though you may not have had an elder or a pastor, I pray that this has not happened, that you have not had an elder or a pastor putting the blame on you for your unanswered prayer, it is so, so easy for us to subtly do this to ourselves. When our prayers are not answered, we want to find some way to explain it, right? We want to know why. And very often, the easiest explanation that we can give ourselves is that it was me, right? We don't want to put it on God, so it must be me. I did something wrong. I didn't believe enough. I didn't have enough faith. But listen, we have here in the Bible a very clear example of this not being the case. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to use Jesus as the example that we have for this very difficult topic. Because think about it. This is Jesus we're talking about. Are you going to say, Jesus, God didn't answer your prayer because you didn't have enough faith? That makes no sense. Belief was not a problem for Jesus. Believing, having enough faith, this is not a problem that Jesus had. So that can't be the reason why God said no to his prayer. But even more than that, now listen to this. When we look at ourselves, faith is not something that you have to force yourself to have. To say that God didn't answer your prayer because you didn't have enough faith, that is to completely misunderstand what faith actually is. Now, hear this now. Faith is not based on the power of your own belief. I will say that again. Faith is not based on the power of your own belief. The Bible is clear that faith is a gift from God. Faith is a relationship that God initiates with us. And it is a relationship grounded in the fact that God is perfectly trustworthy. That when we come before God in prayer, we are invited by Him to share all of our desperate longings. And He will hear those prayers out of the depths of His love for us. That is what having faith means. And understood in this way, it makes absolutely no sense to say that God didn't hear your prayer because you didn't have enough faith. Let me put it as clearly as I can. If you have enough faith to pray, then that's enough faith. If you have enough faith to pray, then that is a sign of that relationship that God has created in you. And that is enough faith. So this is the first bad reason. Here's the second one. God denied your prayer because you're a bad person. Now this one is actually a little bit more complex, I think, because there's a little bit of truth in it. For example, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, we read that Israel's sins were a barrier that had kept God from hearing their prayers. That's what Isaiah says. And I do think we need to acknowledge that there are certainly times when God will allow the consequences of our sin to bring us to a place of repentance. That is absolutely true. And we can actually thank God for that truth. But that's not the issue here that we're talking about. What I'm talking about here is this idea that you have to be good enough, that you have to be somehow holy enough for God to hear your prayers. Unless you are, then God's not going to listen to you. There are two key things that I want to emphasize with this one. First, once again, the example that the Bible gives us is Jesus. Jesus is sinless. So there's already a big strike against this one from the start. But secondly, as Christians, it is not only Jesus who comes before God sinless. Now, we are certainly all of us sinners. But as Christians, we also know that Christ, in drinking down the cup of God's wrath, He took upon Himself all of our sins. His sacrifice has truly cleansed us, and we now wear Jesus' righteousness. When we come before God in prayer, listen to this now, when we come before God in prayer, part of what it means to call God our Father, and part of what we are promised in Scripture is that when we come before God in prayer, we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. God hears us just as He heard Jesus. Think about that. That is a powerful proclamation to hear this morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus, because of what He did for us, God hears your prayer in the same way that He heard Jesus' prayers. So that's why as Christians, we can never say, well, God's not going to answer your prayer because you're never good enough. Because listen, your goodness, your righteousness is never in the equation for whether God is going to listen to you or not. The whole purpose of Jesus coming and dying on the cross was so that we could indeed come before God as holy and righteous servants. So never let this lie be the reason why you think that God has not heard your prayer. So, let's get to the exciting ones. Now, this list of these four, I wish I could take complete credit for them, but I can't. These are actually from a seminary class I had, probably one of the best seminary classes that I had. And there were two professors there, and they shared with us this list. So I'm sharing you some of my own seminary training here, right? So this is certified right here. This is the good stuff. I usually keep the good stuff to myself, but I'm going to let you have it today because it's that good. Okay? So here we go. Let's start with the reasons why God sometimes says no to us. I love this verse, and that's why I'm starting off with it. Sometimes God says no to our prayers because he is inviting you to participate in his kingdom work. There are times when we pray to God for something, and God has actually placed that prayer in our hearts to give us the opportunity to serve him in that way and in that moment. In other words, there are times when God is going to say no because he is actually calling you to do something about it. This is kind of cool to think about. I love the passage in James chapter 2. Again, the Bible does not hide from this at all. I love the passage in James chapter 2 where James effectively says, hey, don't go up to someone who is hungry and naked and say to them, oh, may you find food and clothing and may God bless you along your way. And then you turn around and you keep walking on your way without giving them any food and clothing. That's in the Bible, my friends. Let's be honest. How many times do we do this in both big and small ways, right? Lord, please help that person not to be hungry. And then we're shocked when God doesn't give them food while we're walking by with our Big Mac. Lord, let that lonely person that I always see in the back pew, please give her a good friend. And then they walk out the back and you walk out the front and go get your coffee. Sometimes God says no because he's calling you to be a part of his kingdom work. Because in a weird way, in an amazing way, I should say, that God wants you to be the means that God would answer that prayer. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. Sometimes God says no to the form of our request in order to grant us the substance of it. Now, this, whenever we talk about unanswered prayers, this is the reason that I often hear, and it's a good reason, and so I wanted to include it today. I think the best example that I have for this, though this may be the wrong context for it, anyone here a Garth Brooks fan? No, man, I struck out there. I saw one in the back. Nice. There we go. A couple. Okay. Well, Garth Brooks, I'm not going to say I'm a fan. I did have probably 10 of his cassette tapes growing up. I'm dating myself right there. I grew up in Oklahoma. You had to. It was required reading, right? But one of Garth Brooks' songs is called Unanswered Prayers. And can you guess what that song is all about? I mean, it's a country song, so it's going to be about either love or booze, right? This one's about love. So, and the premise of the whole song is that, the chorus goes something like, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Because the idea of the song is that he's gone to some school reunion, and while he's there, he sees the girl that he pined away for during his high school years, right? The one that he knew was the one. And he prayed to God every day that he would give, you know, that they would get married and that they would, you know, that this relationship would happen. And then, you know, that obviously that prayer was unanswered. And what? He looks right next to him and he has his beautiful wife that he loves so much now. And so he thanks God for this unanswered prayer. Right? That's effectively what this is. Right? Sometimes God says no to the form of our request. God, please give me this person right now because I cannot be happy unless I have the love of this person in my life right now. Sometimes God says no to the form of it in order to grant us the substance of it. Right, the substance of that prayer is I want a deep and meaningful, loving relationship with another person. Right? That person may not be the right one. Right? We don't have all the answers. So just like Garth Brooks, I will say, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Because God does know better sometimes. Because God knows the true form that the substance of our prayer should have. Look it up. Unanswered Prayers. Garth Brooks. Good stuff. All right. Three. This one is hard. Sometimes God says no in order to teach us that his grace is enough. This one is very difficult, and I don't want to play around and pretend that it is not. That there are times when the thing that all of us need to know more than anything else is to know completely and truly that God's grace truly is enough. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we raised this this example up before. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he pleaded with God three times to take this thorn away, but God refused. And then Paul tells us why God didn't take it away. And Paul's answer was to demonstrate that God's grace was enough for him. I'm going to read this passage very quickly. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore," Paul writes, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, here's the main thing that I want to note with what Paul does here. Note that Paul didn't have to hide the fact that he had asked something and God had not given it to him. Right? You would think that this would be a problem. Paul is, you know, he's an apostle. He's out evangelizing. Do you really want to follow the guy that says no, that God says no to? I mean, no, you want to follow the guy that God says yes to all the time, right? And yet what Paul says is no. We need to be honest and truthful about this. It is not a shame to me that God has said no. And it actually, in the end, for Paul, it becomes a part of his witness that God had denied his request. This is important, I think, because it makes clear that as Christians, we also do not need, and in fact we should not, be ashamed of those moments as if they are evidence of some lack of faith or of a God who does not care. And we've already seen that that is clearly not the case. So we do not need to be ashamed of those moments. Instead, these moments, God can use these moments, and sometimes God is asking us to use these moments to become a powerful witness to others that God's grace really is what you need more than anything else. Again, this is a very difficult one, and let me be clear. If someone is coming to me in the midst of a crisis and says, "God has not answered my prayers," I will never say to them, "Well, maybe God is just wanting to teach you that his grace is enough," because that is not for me to say. That is only for God to put in someone else's heart. But there have been times in my life where this has been the lesson that God has taught me through my own unanswered prayers. And in retrospect, at least, when I look back on those times, I can truly say with a hallelujah, "God, your grace really is all I need." Last one. And this one is the best one. Sometimes God says no so that he can say yes to others. Now, I'm not talking here about two Christians who pray for opposing sports teams to win. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. I will be very honest. Those are not the questions that keep me up at night. I really don't care. I'm sorry. The example that I have in mind here is the example that we have in Jesus himself. God's no to Jesus was so that he could say yes to all of us. The terrible no that Jesus heard from God on that terrible night, that same no, as terrible as it was an equally powerful yes to the rest of us. This reason, more than any other, is where the type of faith that Jesus demonstrated in the garden is so necessary and such an integral part of what a Christian attitude to prayer needs to have. In Jesus' example, we see a faith and a trust that God will never say no to you for the wrong reasons. Let me say that again. God will never say no to you for the wrong reasons. And that is why Jesus was able to say, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." God will never say no to you for the wrong reasons, but rather God calls us to be bearers of his salvation for others. And sometimes that means saying no, even to good and faithful requests. And it may be that we won't be able to see the fruit that comes from God saying no in our lives. That may be the case. And this is part of where this is not a perfect list, and these are not perfect, nice, neat, clean answers, as much as I tried to make them. There are times in our lives when we will still cry out why in the depths of our heart, and we will want an answer, and we just will not be satisfied with, because God is doing something amazing and powerful through this. But once again, the invitation that the Bible gives us is not to remain silent in our suffering. As C.S. Lewis put it, God does not call us to be Stoics. God calls us to be Christians. And that means having the faith to ask why. And that also means having the faith to know that there are really good, amazing reasons for why sometimes God says no. Eventually, my prayer is that we will all get to that point of faith when that answer will be enough. But until then, I hope that these ideas can provide some insight for us, and maybe some ways of understanding, and maybe even some ways of thinking, what is God calling me to do through his answer no? How is God leading me in this moment? Thankfully, though, God does not always say no to our prayer requests. And in fact, at least in my experience, I would say that he says yes far, far more often. But the no's can be a huge stumbling block. But again, I hope now that you have at least an inkling for why they should not be for us as Christians. And my prayer is that together, as a people of God, we can also become a people who pray with a heart to seek others' blessings and to truly believe that God's grace is sufficient. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know our struggles with this question because, Lord, you have also struggled with this same answer of no to our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you did not back away from that confrontation. I thank you for the example that you gave us on that night in Gethsemane. But Lord, even more than that, I thank you that you were able to endure that no for our sakes, so that in God's no to you on the cross, the terrible no that rang throughout eternity, that in that terrible no, that was an equally powerful, eternal yes for all of us. Thank you, Lord, for this. And help us in those times of our own struggle. When you do say no, I pray, Lord, that you would still bless us with a sense of your presence, with a sense that you truly are our loving Father who does desire what is best and who is truly wise. And Lord, thank you for giving us the space that even when that is the answer that we receive, that we can still cry out to you and ask why. We thank you for these things, Lord. Again, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.